In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will read for my sermon text, epistle text, which is marked for this week, in the second chapter of Ephesians, the 10 first verses. And the words are, in Jesus' name. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As we already saw in this text, was a short portion of a letter that was written about 2,000 years ago in the city to the people living in the city, believers in Ephesus. I believe, as the Bible teaches, as the letter here is put into the Holy Bible, as the Apostle Peter says of this, the letters here are in the Bible for teaching and doctrine. And today it teaches us, not only the believers living 2,000 years ago in Ephesus, but also us, the believers of today. Of this city of Ephesus, a few thoughts. The city was known during the time of the Roman Empire as the capital of the Asian province. It was an active harbor city of the Aegean Sea. It was also known for the Artemis god temple. In the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 8, it says, the Apostle Paul came into the city of Ephesus for the first time from Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila. He taught in the synagogue and then continued on soon to Jerusalem. Priscilla and Aquila remained in Ephesus. Soon after Paul Paul's workmate Apollos from Alexandria, he taught of the Lord. Apollos did not know of the baptism of John, and he taught in this way. Priscilla and Aquila, they advised Apollos to teach in the name of Christ and also baptized in Jesus' name. Then later, Paul, in his third mission trip, he came to the city of Ephesus. There he meets the disciples who did not know the Holy Spirit. They had been baptized in John's name. Paul teaches and advises them, and Paul baptized them in Jesus' name. Then Paul stayed for over 2 years in Ephesus, taught and preached in the city and the nearby areas. The people were able to hear. They were able to hear the living word, the living gospel, and many accepted the gospel. And the living congregation was born there. And in this way, the word of God, the living faith, spread 2,000 years ago around the Mediterranean Sea. In the same way, it spreads today from the word preached in God's kingdom. Here in this text, specifically it speaks what a great matter it is to find the kingdom of God here upon the earth. The first verse of this text, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." As we heard in the words of introduction, we children of God believe according to the word of God that all people are born into this world partakers of the righteousness of Christ. The psalm writer writes in the Old Testament, "All children are born in Zion." Often we hear when a person is away from God's kingdom and away from God's care and grace, a person may lose this great faith due to trespasses and sins, as the text here writes. Then a spiritual death occurs. This text here speaks how God awakens. It is always God's work when He awakes a person. God may awaken a person who is spiritually dead in many different ways. The teaching of Christ teaches us that God may awaken through faith or through the changes, stages of history. He may awaken a person through nature or through creation. God may awaken a person through the demanding law of God, and so on. But always when God awakens a person, the sin will begin to press and they will become worried for their sins, burdened for their sins. This person must find the kingdom of God here upon the earth. And at these services, in many sermons, most of the sermons we have heard, what is and where the kingdom of God can be found. The kingdom of God is not the same as these known kingdoms here upon the earth. That the borders of the kingdom of God can be found on a map or in the ground, as the borders of modern-day countries are found. The borders of God's kingdom are found and drawn from heart to heart, as we heard through the brother. And it is also said in God's kingdom that it is covered with all pains and suffering. It is like a hut in a garden. And we as God's children, on our own behalf, we are regular people on our own behalf, falling into sin and faults. Here upon the earth, there are two types of sinful people. As in the end of the book of Revelations, it speaks of the final judgment, how people will be divided. They will be divided into two groups, those on the right side and on the left side. Why is it so? Because there are those who have been redeemed. There are those who have believed their sins forgiven through the gospel preached in the kingdom of God. As we already heard prior, this atoning sermon was given to the kingdom of God, to the children of God. This word that is preached even today, the forgiveness of sins, this gospel is preached, as Paul states in the book to the Romans, from faith to faith. The preacher, speaker, must be a preacher that has been affected by the Holy Spirit. Finding God's kingdom, you can and you should pray to find it. In the Acts of the Apostles, it says, there are examples how God hears the searching people, the prayers. There is this example of the servant of the Ethiopian and of Cornelius the centurion, how they prayed, and God heard their prayers. And take note, God did not sanctify any of them, make holy either one of them in prayer, but they were sent to a believing person. The servant of the Ethiopian, Philippi, was sent unto him. And we remember into the home of Cornelius, Peter was sent. They taught and preached the living word, and it effected in their word that they received the gospel, and they came in into God's grace kingdom. Again, it was important that after they had gotten in, they had believed, then they were baptized. Paul, who is said to have written this letter, Saul of Tarsus, when he was on the way to the city of Damascus, in the vision he saw the resurrected Christ, the living Lord, that which was on the earth, in his prophetical work, he did not preach the forgiveness of sins. He encouraged them, Saul was encouraged to go into the house where he met Ananias, the believing brother, who preached for the sake of Jesus all the sins forgiven. And in this way, Saul was able to come into the kingdom of God, and he was baptized. And then he went out to do the work of the kingdom of God, named Paul. And he preached unto the Gentiles, even here in the city of Ephesus. And the first verse here brings clearly that a person is spiritually dead if they do not have faith. And this can be made concrete today. There are many states today that use capital punishment for crimes, for heavy crimes. Often this capital punishment, death sentence, this death sentence can last for many years or for many decades, I read somewhere. And they wait and wait for their judgment and for their death sentence to be carried out. This judgment of God is basically the same. We children of God, we believers, we are accused often that you judge others. Your sermons are so judging. We state, we are not judging. We want to bring forth the truth of God's word as it is written. God is the studier of hearts, the judge of people. We are not judges. We want to love our dear ones in truth, and we want to tell them this portion of God's word, this truth. It is comforting to hear the words of a person who is under judgment. When there is life, there is hope. You can hear, as David had fallen into great sins, you do not have to die. Your sins are forgiven. Even today, from God's grace kingdom, the words are preached, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And even at this moment, such a person, if you feel that this judgment of God is upon you, you can believe, unbelieve, and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can be secured and comforted. When you receive this in faith, you can come inside God's grace kingdom to follow us and the Lord Jesus Christ along the way that will bring us to the destination, into eternal life in heaven. In this way, this grace gospel is preached from God's kingdom. The text continues, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We state that the enemy of the soul effects in unbelieving people, and in the catechism it says clearly in the doctrine teaching, such a person who is bound in their sins is a slave of their sins. And the enemy of the soul can use these slaves of sin, using sin against the kingdom of God, as the Apostle Paul experienced. When he found the kingdom of God, he was persecuting the children of God, lost, driven away by the enemy of the soul. It is here written, the Ephesians were able to believe in the past, And it is so, the same for us, us blessed believers. We sing in this familiar song of Zion, now free from death and sin, I am clean of the blood of Christ Jesus. We are free of the sin burden that the enemy of the soul tries to give. And the text continues, among whom also we all had our conversion in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, and in a mind that were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, people fall into sin, and Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, there is not one that does good, not even one. All have fallen away and become unacceptable before God. So it is how sin affects in us, that sin that lives in us. When we have been able to believe our sins forgiven, we have the Holy Spirit living in our heart. The Holy Spirit teaches us to put away sin when it attaches. But God, that is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith He hath loved us, that love of God and mercy, that love and mercy of God is so great towards people. The psalm writer writes in a beautiful way the poems, as high as the heaven is from the earth, and love for the people who fear God. And God promised there in paradise to the sin fallen man. He promised salvation for all people. It concerned, regardless of race, nationality, all people. And when we were dead in sin, we are made alive with Christ, or quickened. He has awakened us, and He has put us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God fulfilled His promise that He prepared that salvation in Christ that is satisfying for Him, acceptable unto Him. He prepared His Son, the crucifixion and the resurrection, that way, that road that leads into eternal life. And from this kingdom of God, as it has been said, this gospel of Christ, the promise and commandment that Jesus gave to His own, to whom your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. And then this way we believe today, that in the future times, that in the age to come might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. This grace for us, it concerns and touches all people from all time, and even people of this time. We can believe, even if we cannot see the Lord Jesus. We can believe, as it has been said many times in Hebrews, faith is that which we strongly hope and does not doubt of the unseen. To come into God's kingdom, A person does not need any knowledge or skill. The entry into God's kingdom is based only on the desire to receive the gospel that is preached in God's kingdom. That you want to believe that gospel to your own part. When a person receives this gospel, God gives the understanding and gives the peace. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This faith is a gift from God, and it is grace that is so clearly here said. The greatness of this gift is visible there, as how Jesus said himself, that if a person received all of the world, what would it benefit him if it would hurt his soul? This great gift we children of God are partakers of. Your sins are forgiven and peace with God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No man can boast of their own endeavoring or of their own merits. We remember Abraham, our forefather of faith, how Abraham was exemplary of his travel and obedient to God, ready to sacrifice his only son to God's command. What did God say about Abraham? He said in Romans, Abraham believed in God and it was read unto him as righteousness. For we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath thou prepared, ordained, that we should walk in them. Good works and life in God are good fruits, not that we would gain salvation through them. But natural person wants to do something for their salvation. With their simple mind, or with their mind, they can simply think that if they put away sin, stop sinning, and repent and do good deeds, in the end, God will sanctify, make me saved. The Word of God does not teach in this way. Man needs this righteousness that is acceptable to God, believing your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. As a conclusion of our text, we can say it speaks, as I said in the beginning, what a great matter and what a great gift it is when a person can believe through grace and to come into God's kingdom. We children of God have received here at Loppi in Räyskälä. We have been able to rejoice in faith today and these days. We have experienced the existence of God's kingdom. As the Bible says, it is righteousness, it is peace, it is joy in the Holy Spirit. This love effected by faith has also influenced us that we have wanted to come together to summer services. And this love has brought us together. And it has been said that this love is the cement that binds us together into this building of Christ, as it has been spoken of here. This castle of God's kingdom, the foundation, the prophets and the apostles, and the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. This castle is our place of refuge. We are now going to this memorial service to strengthen this weak faith. Often as a child of God, we look at our own endeavor. From my own experience, I know it feels, am I even acceptable to come to the Lord's table? I encourage you, brother and sister, the grace promises of God are still in force. Even now, you can uplift your hearts to believe, all your sins and travel faults and doubts forgiven. You can be of good comfort. And perhaps in this service tent, perhaps out on the field, around the radio and internet, a listener, if you feel that you are not a partaker of God's grace, I say unto you, you can believe, all of your sins forgiven, all unbelief, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, and His precious atonement blood. When you receive this gospel, you can come in to God's grace kingdom. And let us remain comforted, believing, all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name, and His precious blood. Atonement blood. Jesus' name. Amen.